Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news this noon, three dogs poisoned, two died. Now a Wake County couple faces animal cruelty charges. What investigators say led them to that couple?
And it's a big weekend for everybody. Checking Sunday, it's looking like just a stray shower, but tomorrow does look wetter. I'll walk you through the weekend coming up.
And the Carolina Hurricanes surge past the New Jersey Devils in a thriller. Now we'll wait to see who they will take on in the Eastern Conference Finals.
A Wake County couple is charged with felony animal cruelty. James and Agnes Goldston each face three counts of felony animal cruelty and communicating threats. They're accused of poisoning their neighbor's dogs, two of which died. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan broke this story just before 9 this morning on WRAL.com. She's live at the Wake County Sheriff's Office. Chelsea, I understand you spoke with one of the owners of the dogs.
Yeah, Renee, this is a case that's well over a year in the making, according to Phil and Jessica Ridley, who I interviewed. They had been hoping for the past year that their neighbors, James and Agnes Goldston, would be arrested for allegedly poisoning their three dogs, and those arrests came late last night. Now, this is the couple here, James and Agnes Goldston. Both were charged with three counts of animal cruelty and communicating threats. The Wake County Sheriff's Office confirmed that all this started with a dispute between the Goldstons and the Ridleys, who live in the Black Horse Run community that's up in North Raleigh. The Ridleys allege that the Goldsteins poisoned their three dogs with antifreeze. One dog, Brown, died in July of last year. One died this past Sunday, and the third dog was hospitalized on Monday, but that dog has survived. Now, the family says the Goldstons would poison squirrels, and then the dogs would eat the squirrels that contained antifreeze. They tell me this all started because the Ridleys were putting in a new driveway that the Goldstons felt was an eyesore.
It's traumatizing when you have a dog that is so loving and caring 1 minute, and then 12 hours later, he can't get up and seizing and, you know, collapsing due to, you know, these chemicals.
Now, the Wake County Sheriff's Office told me that all three of these dogs were evaluated by three different vets, and all of those vets confirmed that the dogs were, in fact, poisoned. Now, the Goldstons each received $30,000 bond. They bonded out late last night. According to their bond requirements, they're not allowed to have contact with the neighbors at this time. Back to you.
It is just awful that a neighbor's dispute could lead to something like this. Chelsea Donovan, live in Raleigh.
Showers and storms in the forecast for tomorrow as a cold front moves through. And Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when those storms will come through the area.
Here's a look at the big picture. We're nice and dry right now. Beautiful sunshine right to our west. We have some showers and thunderstorms that have started to develop underneath this warm front. This whole system will swing eastward and the cold front will drop across our area tomorrow, bringing us a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The new runs of the computer models in just the last couple of hours are drier than what I was showing you during our morning news. And so that's good news if you have plans to be outside on Saturday. This is 7 a.m. on Saturday, and we'll roll it through to 10 a.m. And you can see it looks like we may see a little bit of sunshine trying to peek through, but it's not likely to be as clear as it is right now. There's the potential for maybe one or two tiny showers to pop up, but this morning it looked like we might have a band of just some patchy light rain that moved through. So the models have dried that out a little bit since this morning. At 5 o'clock, we're still dry, but by 7 o'clock, we begin to see a small band of showers and thunderstorms moving across the area. Notice the showers and thunderstorms up to the north between, say, 8 and 10, and those will gradually sink southward across the I-95 corridor through around midnight or so. Right now, it doesn't look like these would be severe, but certainly there would be some heavy rain and some gusty winds along with them, but just not quite reaching severe criteria. So it looks like our best chance of rain is going to be, say, after 7 p.m. up until midnight or the early morning hours of Sunday, and then Sunday will be in between systems. So Sunday's looking good, just a 20% chance, and then Monday looks like it's going to be fairly wet. So your weekend planner will be variably cloudy Saturday. We're looking at scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. Mother's Day, just an isolated shower if 20% chance. We're going to walk through Mother's Day too, hour by hour with Futurecast coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Breaking economic development news this noon hour. VinFast is planning to go public. That's a Vietnam-based electric vehicle manufacturing company planning to build a plant in Chatham County. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with what this means for that project moving forward. Ken.
You know, Renee, WRL TechWire reporter Rick Smith broke this story earlier today. Last month, we reported VinFast is delaying opening plant operations until 2025 at that plant. Well, today, WRL TechWire confirmed VinFast is planning to merge with a U.S. company that's already traded on the New York Stock Exchange. That means VinFast will start trading publicly through stock offering. No timetable yet for that to happen, though. The company is in the process of building a $4 billion manufacturing plant in Chatham County. Company executives say VinFast will be valued at about $27 billion because of this deal. Now, Rick Smith says this is a crucial step in the process of getting that plant built.
The deal, if it's approved and if backers support it financially, it will provide VinFast with the cash that it needs to build that $4.5 billion complex.
Well, Smith says raising the capital to build that Chatham County plant has been a challenge for VinFast so far. He says this solution could be the key to keeping that project on track. We also checked with tech attorney Jim Verdonik. He tells us by VinFast merging with a company that's already trading on the New York Stock Exchange, the company could raise money quicker and cheaper. Again, no timetable, but company executives are planning or pointing to the second part of this year. You can read Rick's full story on WRLTechWire.com. Renee?
Ken Smith, thank you so much for that update. Let's take a look at stocks now. The Dow Jones Industrial down 85 points. In the red, S&P 500 also down around 15 points, and NASDAQ down 60 points as investors continue to digest economic news this week.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Bishop William Barber and local faith leaders were at the North Carolina General Assembly this afternoon talking about abortion and also poverty in the state of North Carolina. Bishop Barber stood alongside two nonprofits, Repairers of the Breach and North Carolina Poor People's Campaign, to talk about these issues. He says the abortion ban is an attack on democracy on low-income women across North Carolina. He also denounced extremist legislators in Washington, saying when it comes to issues, they are so loud. Folks in Washington are so loud. But when it comes to these specific issues, why are they so quiet? Other pastors alongside Bishop Barber also shared their thoughts, as well as some personal experiences with abortion. Many of them saying we need to do better.
Thanks, Michelle. Also, tomorrow morning, Governor Roy Cooper and hundreds of supporters will hold a rally for his veto of the bill. 500 people are expected to attend at 10 tomorrow morning at Bicentennial Mall, just outside the legislative building. No North Carolina governor has held a veto rally in the past 27 years. Even though the governor has the power to issue that veto, it may not hold because the GOP has a supermajority.
Police in Charlotte are searching for the cause of a crash that injured four people, including two paramedics. It happened early this morning at the scene of another crash in the northeast part of Charlotte. Two paramedics were treated and released from the hospital. The patient who is being treated in the ambulance has life-threatening injuries. It's unclear if they were from the initial crash. The driver who crashed into the ambulance also has serious injuries. Authorities in Johnson County are looking for a driver who hit and killed a man riding a bike. This happened late last night on Braswell Road near Smithfield. Highway Patrol says the vehicle that hit him is a blue SUV that may have a broken headlight and other damage. The victim's name has not been released.
Carolina Hurricanes are headed to the Eastern Conference Finals, one step closer to the Stanley Cup. The last time they made it to this playoff level, 2019. WRL's Naya Harden has reaction from fans who are buzzing over last night's win.
Canes fans are waking up this morning feeling good because another box is checked. You can see here the boxes that are filled. They are halfway to the Stanley Cup. It takes 16 wins to get there. The team will take a day to rest before they get back to practice Saturday. Video from last night's game shows what happened when they went into overtime. Canes winning 3-2 against the Devils. The win now sends them to the Eastern Conference Finals. They haven't been since 2019. fans believe they can go all the way.
This feels incredible for the Canes, for the city of Raleigh. Let's go, Kings! I want Florida. They're a good team, they're a physical team, but I think we can beat them.
Now, there's no official schedule, but the Hurricanes will open the conference finals at home against either Toronto or Florida. And they tell us they believe they're going to play Wednesday or Thursday, so you're going to want to make sure to get the WRAL News app so we can let you know when tickets will be available. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Next at noon, memes are not always funny. In fact, we'll show you how some are intended to harm or even threaten national security.
Also, employee job satisfaction. How would you rate yours? We'll tell you what a new survey found among U.S. workers.
Plus, Title 42 expired at midnight, and thousands of migrants are waiting across the southern border. What's happening there right now?
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Online communities are becoming the first platforms where people are expressing their intentions to cause harm. Ken Delanian explains how the messages can come in the form of memes.
The patch worn by the mass shooter who took 8 lives at a Texas mall last week meant nothing to most people. But the acronym RWDS, for Right Wing Death Squad, has for years been a popular meme in far-right circles. It's the latest example of how experts say violent extremists are using memes to fuel radicalization.
It's like grassroots organizing, and that you feel like you're really involved, but it's also at scale, and that's what a meme can do. And they spread like wildfire.
The U.S. National Counterterrorism Center recently warned in an intelligence bulletin that memes are full of coded language that makes it harder for social media platforms to flag them as extremist content.
The intent is to hide these provocative and extremist messaging under a veil of irony to avert detection.
Memes have been a feature of hate-motivated violence for years. The man sentenced to life in prison for killing 10 people at a Buffalo supermarket last year plastered his gun with racist slogans. In the winter of 2020, Aaron Swenson posted these crude anti-police memes on Facebook. A few months later, Swenson, a self-described member of the far-right extremist group, the Boogaloo Boys, started a Facebook live stream capturing what he said was a mission to hunt and kill a police officer. Prosecutors say this is the moment he tried to ambush a Texas patrolman. He ultimately was sentenced to more than 50 years in prison for attempted murder.
We can see how these things that appear innocuous as phony sequel jokes, as meme cartoons, they can really rapidly and dangerously convert into real-world violence.
That was Ken Delanian reporting. Both Facebook and Twitter cracked down on extremist users after the January 6th attack. Experts say many groups flocked to more loosely moderated platforms in order to spread their hate-filled messages.
The former Camp Lejeune Marine who held a homeless man in a deadly chokehold surrendered to New York authorities this morning. Jordan Neely died May 1st after he was put in a chokehold by Daniel Penny. A spokesperson for the New York District Attorney's Office says Penny will be charged with second-degree manslaughter. Passengers described Neely as acting erratically when he boarded the subway, yelling about being hungry and thirsty. Neely was on New York City's top 50 list of homeless people with urgent need before his subway death.
4 students who were murdered at the University of Idaho last year will receive posthumous degrees and certificates during tomorrow's commencement ceremony. Kaylee Gonzalez, Maddie Mogan, Ethan Chapin, and Zanna Kernold were found dead in their apartment. Ethan's fraternity is raising more than $125,000 for scholarships. The other families are establishing similar foundations. A family friend of Zanna's father says he hopes the diploma will inspire others to continue their education.
They worked hard. They studied hard. They deserve to have that work recognized and honored and remembered for sure.
The man charged with their murders, Brian Koberger, was arrested December 30th at his family home in Pennsylvania. He has pleaded not guilty, recently hiring a defense attorney certified to defend death penalty cases.
You'd think researching great white sharks would be a pretty scary proposition, right? It's not as bad as you think, though. And tonight at 6, only on WREL, we'll take you on board a research ship off our coast that's catching, tagging, studying, and releasing those great whites. Find out why scientists say handling the predators is no different than training a dog or keeping a baby calm. That's tonight on WREL News at 6.
Expect high traffic this weekend on the road and in the air as you look at a live view of RDU International Airport. That's because many of the people traveling to the Triangle are celebrating special occasions. It's graduation weekend for colleges, and it will also be Mother's Day. RDU expects more than 177,000 travelers to come through the airport from now until Monday. Today is expected to be the busiest, followed by Sunday. Fayetteville State University held a commencement ceremony this morning. Graduate and doctoral students walked across the stage at 10 this morning at Capel Arena. The undergraduate commencement is tomorrow morning at 9 at the Crown Coliseum.
NC First Lady Kristen Cooper delivered the commencement address this morning for Campbell University's School of Law. The ceremony took place at Dorton Arena at the NC State Fairgrounds. She graduated from Campbell Law School in 1982. Tomorrow, Shaw University and Meredith College will hold their commencement ceremonies. Students at Duke University and UNC Chapel Hill will graduate on Sunday. You know what hangs in the balance there when you're talking about outdoor events of that nature and that many people.
So the pressure is on for the forecast, but it looks like things will be pretty good for whatever you have planned. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Just have the umbrella handy.
So, you know, as I said at the beginning of the newscast, it looks like we're maybe a little bit drier for Saturday morning. So that's good news for folks who are headed out to graduations. We do have a lot of rain that's showing up back to our west, but it looks like that's going to hold off potentially until the evening hours. So we do have a good chance of rain Saturday evening and Saturday night. It's a 60% chance. Right now, Sunday is looking good. We're down to a 20% chance. So that has been drying out nicely. I think we have outdoor graduations on Sunday for UNC and for Duke, and it looks absolutely fine. Monday looks wet, though. It's kind of nice that we're going to be able to kind of skate by without too much rain this weekend, and it's going to hold off until Monday because, you know, we ended up with 8 weekends in a row this spring with rain. And we will see some. Here's a look at Saturday. Again, here's 7 a.m., and you can see some cloud cover. Hopefully a few holes in the clouds. You can see it, the clouds are trying to break up just a little bit, and there could be one or two tiny sprinkles that roll through this for tomorrow morning. After that, we're pretty quiet through the afternoon, and then we start to see that band of rain developing. Here's 7 p.m. We'll move it on out to, say, 10 p.m., looking at more of that rain in the northeast at that point, potentially, and it will sink southward as we get closer to midnight. So definitely looking at some rain, but at the moment, we are not under any particular risk for severe storms. That doesn't mean it won't be windy and really wet, though, overnight Saturday night. Here's a look at Pinehurst. Everybody's out and about enjoying this absolutely gorgeous afternoon. Lots of sunshine, a pleasant breeze. It's warm. The humidity stays low. We don't have a lot of these days, and they won't last too much longer. 80 degrees is our current temperature right now, and we will climb into the mid to upper 80s for highs. The dew point has jumped into the mid 60s, so that is starting to get to where you can notice it a little bit. So it's just a touch muggy out there right now. It's 80 in Fayetteville, 78 Goldsboro, 80 degrees in South Hill. Temperatures are feeling really nice. We'll see 87 in Durham and Raleigh this afternoon, and 88 in Fayetteville. 79 is our normal high. So our temperatures will be above normal for the next few days through the weekend, but not by a whole lot. And then we get a big dip in the temperature on Monday. That's the day that looks like it'll be cloudy and fairly wet. So that's why the temperature will be cooler. And then really Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, highs will be close to normal. It'll be dry, really pretty weather heading our way. When our dew point is in the 50s, this time of year, it tends to feel very comfortable. When it starts to climb into the mid 60s, you know, we get to tolerable, kind of edging up towards steamy, and we'll see that through this afternoon, it looks like, and then the weekend as well. But it's not terrible. We're not talking about a summer sort of muggy feel to the atmosphere. Mother's Day planner, looking good. Temperatures will be in the 70s in the morning and low 80s during the afternoon. We have the tiniest chance of a few scattered showers, and I'll show you that coming up in more detail in about half an hour. Pollen forecast, hot off the presses. We're high for weeds and for trees and medium for grasses. The pollen, you know, just keeps on coming. Maybe a little bit of that rain Saturday night will wash some of it out of the atmosphere. Either that or Monday, which looks a good bit wetter. Right now, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday look awfully nice.
Elizabeth, thank you. An inspector saw something so alarming, they had to stop their inspection and train the restaurant staff. That's coming up on your news at 5 in this week's Restaurant Ratings.
And fewer women are having unwanted and mistimed pregnancies. Tonight at 5:30, WRL Data Trackers looks at what the new data reveals about American family trends. Still ahead this noon, Adidas has finally announced what it plans to do with millions of dollars worth of Yeezys. How the company hopes some good will come out of the severed relationship.
And here's some news that's sure to bring a smile to your face. Most prices at the grocery store are falling. We'll break down a few of the best buys. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Twitter officially has a brand new CEO, Elon Musk, just naming Linda Yaccarino as the new CEO. This was expected to be announced. It is now official. Elon actually tweeted from Twitter saying, "I'm excited to welcome you. Linda Yaccarino as the new CEO of Twitter. She'll focus primarily on business operations while I focus on product design and new technology. Looking forward to working with Linda to transform this platform into X, the everything app." Prior to becoming the new CEO of Twitter, Yaccarino worked at NBC Universal for 12 years.
Employees in the U.S. are more satisfied than ever. That's according to a survey from the Conference Board. It found U.S. employees' job satisfaction at its highest level since it began doing the survey back in 1987. There were two main reasons. One is the tight labor market means better pay, benefits, and working conditions. And secondly, the flexibility that hybrid work arrangements allowed for also has employees feeling good about their jobs. Tesla is raising prices for all vehicles except the Model 3. The company is raising price for all versions of the Model S and X by $1,000, while the Model Y is going up by $250. It's the second price increase for those cars in the past month. The price on the Model 3 was raised earlier this month, and this follows a series of price cuts in recent months to drum up demand.
Adidas has come up with a plan for what to do with the pile of Yeezy sneakers it's stuck with. The German sportswear giant says it will sell the footwear and give the money to charity. Adidas was left with the unsold sneakers after it ended its partnership with Kanye West following the rapper's anti-Semitic comments. It was about $1 billion worth of inventory that Adidas did not know what to do with. At one point, the company even considered simply destroying the footwear. More retailers are adding on charges for returning purchased items. About 40% of retailers had return fees last year, compared to 33% of retailers in 2021. Some companies are now charging return shipping fees. Those fees range from about $6 to $8. The additional charges can be waived if returns are made in person.
Tinder is updating its community guidelines in a bid to keep the dating app safe and respectful. It'll automatically remove social handles from user bios and discourage them from posting private conversations with their matches on other platforms. Tinder says it's not a place where users should be looking to gain followers on their social channels. You can still share your Instagram profiles with matches using Tinder's Instagram integration. Google's releasing its redesigned Home app to the public. Major changes include a new favorites tab, camera interfaces, and support for more devices. The new version of the app is now available to all users. Google is also rolling out access to the app on watches starting Monday.
Republicans say the expiration of Title 42 threatens chaos at the U.S.-Mexico border. Why the Biden administration says it is playing the hand it was dealt. Plus,
of course, we need to protect the First Amendment, respect the First Amendment, but we also have to take extremism seriously.
Combating homegrown terrorism, how experts say some online communities are using memes to spread radical messages. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The COVID era immigration restriction known as Title 42 expired at midnight with thousands of people ready to cross the border into the U.S. Meanwhile, a federal judge in Florida has temporarily blocked a Biden administration policy aiming to speed up the processing of migrants. NBC's Bree Jackson has more from the U.S.-Mexico border.
I'm here in El Paso, Texas, one of the border cities that's been bracing for an influx of migrants now that Title 42 has ended. As you can see behind me, that's the border fence between El Paso and Mexico. We haven't seen many migrants coming through this area so far since Title 42 has ended, but that is expected to change. The city does expect an increase. Now, DHS expects about 10,000 people to cross each day now that Title 42 has ended. Republicans are blasting the White House, saying that the president has failed to have a plan in place. But the Biden administration is defending its record, saying that it's hiring more Border Patrol agents, increasing the number of people processing paperwork, and enforcing tougher consequences for unlawful entry. Now that Title 42 has ended, migrants would have to seek asylum in another country before applying here in the U.S. The ACLU filed a legal challenge against the Biden administration's new restrictions, claiming that it places vulnerable asylum seekers in danger. In El Paso, Texas, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas appeared on Today this morning, and he issued a stern warning telling migrants the border is not open. But he also reiterated the Biden administration is operating within the constraints of a broken immigration system.
Our system has been broken for more than two decades. It was last reformed in the 1990s. So that is the first point. The second point is we have not received from Congress the resources that we need and that we requested. And so we need our immigration system fixed once and for all.
The Biden administration plans to roll out a new program for migrant families released in the United States to track them as they go through the deportation process. It would require they stay under home confinement.
Police in Hope Mills are investigating a shooting outside a Food Lion grocery store. Michael Grace reports from the WRL Breaking News Tracker with what he's learned.
Yeah, and witnesses tell WREL that this may have all started from some sort of argument inside the store, and you can still see the damage from last night. Those two front windows on the left side of the storefront completely shattered, and they've been working to put up some boards in front of them. Let's take a look at what that scene looked like last night. The entire front half of the parking lot blocked off with crime tape by police. The Food Lion is operating on normal hours. We're still working with police to find out if there were any injuries and if anyone is in custody at this time. In Hope Mills, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Today's county-by-county coverage takes us to Edgecombe, Person, and Wilson counties. Let's start in Edgecombe County, where happening right now, people have a chance to get free over-the-counter medicine. The event's happening at the former Edgecombe County Health Department on North Main Street in Tarboro. Cold medicine, vitamins, and other medication are available until 2 p.m. while supplies last. NC Med Assist is hosting that event. If you turn in a book late to the Person County Library, you won't have to worry about late fees anymore. Earlier this week, the library's advisory board voted unanimously to get rid of that fee. The library will continue to have people pay for lost or damaged items. The board also voted to make the library a passport acceptance facility, which would allow you to get your passport photo taken there. In Wilson, about 100 state workers competed to see who is best at operating heavy equipment. It's a fun event. The group participated in the Equipment Operator Training Conference, driving large trucks and other big equipment all through an obstacle course. It's an annual event they call the Rodeo. You know, different than a regular rodeo. It's the rodeo.
Like that play on the word road. Families from a war-torn country are now here in North Carolina trying to make a home. As part of our series during Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, we focus on refugees from Burma. They're resettling in Orange County, where a community farm is helping them to transplant their tradition of farming.
They grew up as a kid all the way until they fled the war as a farmer. And their family passed on farming from generation to generation. So it's just something that they do, and they enjoyed that.
Today on WRL News at 4, I'll introduce you to the nonprofit helping these refugees reconnect with the land, how leaders are providing training and support so the farmers can grow their business and provide for their families.
Something we've all been waiting for, price drops on many of the food we buy at grocery stores, ways you can save even more.
Plus, for jobs that humans don't want to do, leave it to the robots, how they're revolutionizing recycling.
Live look this noon, Cape Fear River in Wilmington. Just a beautiful walk right along the waterfront there as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Some very good news this morning for everybody's wallet ahead of those Mother's Day and Memorial Day barbecues on the way.
Yeah, maybe you'll want to host a cookout now that the cost of food has dropped for the second straight month, with basics like milk and eggs leading the way, but also a lot of summer staples like hot dogs. NBC's Sam Brock reports on this positive trend.
For families who have watched grocery bills take an oversized bite out of their budgets.
Nine.
Like Chris Roberts and his three kids, the last 2 years have been tough to swallow.
We used to spend $30 a day, and now it's closer to $60.
But months of double-digit food increases appear to finally be easing.
So even not going up anymore, even just stable, does that make a difference?
Absolutely. Give some hope.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics shows food at home prices fell modestly month to month in March and April, the first time the benchmark has actually come down since September 2020. In South Florida, some parents trying to capitalize ahead of the Mother's Day and Memorial Day holidays.
Are you guys planning on having a big family meal?
We normally do. I am very much so looking at the buy one, get one ribs behind you.
With so many eyeing savings, here are some items in your cart that now cost less. Eggs have cracked their pricing surge, falling 1.5% after a nearly 11% drop the month before. Milk prices are down 2%, the biggest decrease in more than 8 years, and fruits and veggies dipped 0.5%. Thinking about firing up the grill? Barbecue staples like hot dogs are 2.9% cheaper, but ground beef for burgers and chicken are slightly more expensive.
Certain areas, certain commodities are still strong. Certain have weakened, such as poultry and pork.
Owner John Alfano at Doris's Italian Market in Sunrise, Florida, walking us through your best deals.
You mentioned chicken and poultry.
Yes.
Better value here?
Definitely. Compared to beef, poultry is much more reasonable right now. Chicken wings are probably the best bet right now price-wise in the poultry market, and great for grilling.
As for key tips to save even more, consider buying the store brand. Winn-Dixie says its private label can be around 20% cheaper. And look ahead of time online at what deals stores are doling out, so like Brianna Williams did.
If I had a taste for something, but next week it's going to go on sale, I'll wait and buy it when it's buy one, get one free.
That was NBC's Sam Brock reporting. Now, don't forget, you can find local deals from our WRL Smart Shopper, Faye Prosser. Go to WRL.com, look for the Consumer tab, and search Smart Shopper.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, we have an update to a story that we brought you earlier in the show. The Marine veteran who fatally choked Jordan Neely on a New York City subway did surrender to authorities. He appeared in court and is freed pending trial. Jordan Neely died on May 1st. And a spokesperson for the New York District Attorney's Office says Penny will be charged with second-degree manslaughter.
These aren't jobs that people are clamoring for.
We've heard lots of cautious tales about the rise of robots, but machines are helping one industry that has struggled with staffing and profitability.
And if you're falling short of your daily goal for steps, you might want to try changing your diet. Find out how you can make up for the deficit with a trip to the produce aisle.
Artificial intelligence is changing the world from top to bottom, and at the very bottom is garbage. NBC's Jake Ward shows us how AI is becoming a major part of the recycling industry.
At this recycling center in Boulder, Colorado, a blur of hands separates plastic, glass, and paper into over a dozen categories.
It is hard, grueling, tedious work to sort out all those materials.
And that, along with the cost of recycling, not to mention our consumption and carelessness, means only 69 million of the 292 million tons of waste we throw away each year is recycled, sold, and reused. And Suzanne Jones, whose nonprofit runs this place, says staffing it is hard.
These aren't jobs that people are clamoring for.
Now, automation and artificial intelligence are part of the process.
A good human sorter is still better than a robot.
Pretty tried and true.
However,
yeah.
Robots don't need lunch breaks. They don't call in sick, and they don't need to go on vacation. And they can work a double shift.
This one, made by Colorado-based Amp Robotics, uses machine vision and a vacuum grabber to pick out what it can. And according to CEO Matanya Horowitz, the lease costs roughly the same as one or two workers' annual salary.
We identify hundreds of different, like, sort of specific types of things, but we're always teaching it new things.
And as the AI learns at this company lab how to tell pieces of plastic from sheets of paper, it also learns how to grab them.
In the future, it'll go for the flat spots and get better and better over time.
Would it be the case that if you smash this thing up a million different ways, it will eventually learn all million possibilities?
Well, even better, it learns to generalize. In addition to the million, it'll learn the million and one that it's never seen.
And the AI can learn the exact chemical composition of each item, allowing it to not only fingerprint which company it came from, but also sort the stuff so exactly, recyclers can guarantee customers a purer form of recycled plastic or paper, not one that's mixed up with materials humans might miss.
As Jake Ward reporting, in one AI recycling startup is building an algorithm that's capable of recognizing over 90% of recyclables in the waste stream. These businesses say it doesn't mean people will get tossed out of jobs. They say the robots allow people to be moved to safer parts of the operation.
A mother's love knows no bounds, and that's true for birds as well. A female osprey was pelted by hail during a storm in Colorado earlier this week. Just listen to that. Boulder County Parks has a camera that live streams the bird's nest, and it captured this video as pellets of hail piled up around the mama bird. You could see her shielding her eggs. Thankfully, she and the eggs are just fine. Wildlife officials expect the eggs to hatch in a few weeks. The mama osprey there pulling that mama bear move. You know, yes. You do what you can, protect your babies.
All that hail building up around the nest and around her and on her, that was a tough night for them. Glad she made it through fine. Babies are fine. Elizabeth Gardner of the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with blue skies. It looked great for our Friday here.
It's so pretty. I feel bad for her too, right? She's a tough Colorado mama. We're looking at some beautiful weather. Get your babies outside this afternoon if you can. Goldsboro looking gorgeous. It's a little bit breezy out there. That wind has started to pick up, but the wind is out of the southwest, so it's a nice warm breeze. It is delivering a little more moisture, so it's feeling a touch more muggy than it was yesterday, but it doesn't feel like full-on July or August by any means. Pretty here in Apex with blue sky, Chapel Hill, a nice partly cloudy sky, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course, a look at our Fayetteville News Show. People out and about there on Hay Street as well, enjoying it. Lots of thunderstorms popping up here, up and down the Mississippi Valley, and that's what's coming our way for tomorrow. However, it doesn't look like it's going to be severe. Severe criteria would be winds at 58 miles per hour or stronger, and at that level, the wind can knock down trees. It doesn't look like it'll be as strong as that. We're probably going to be gusting maybe 40, 45 miles per hour within some of those thunderstorms. So it'll be gusty certainly during the evening on Saturday, and some of that rain will be heavy at times, but again, not quite to severe criteria. This is tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. I'm hoping for maybe a few peaks of sunshine, but I feel like tomorrow is going to be a fairly gray day. That's going to keep our temperatures in the mid-80s. Again, remember, we'll still have that flow coming up from the south, so it'll be on the warm side. It's unlikely that we would see much rain until the evening, really. Now, it's not completely out of the question, but it's just unlikely. By 6, 7 o'clock, we start to see a line of thunderstorms cropping up, and then we see more of that developing north and east of the Triangle area and dropping down to the south as we get closer to midnight. So starting around 6 or 7, ending around 11 or 12, and then out of the viewing area. We'll likely wake up Sunday morning, Mother's Day, at if you're up at 5 a.m., to some cloudy skies. But it doesn't stay that way all day. At 8 a.m., we're still cloudy. But by between 8 and noon, watch how we clear things out. And that continues. Our wind is going to start coming out of the northeast. It's going to cool our temperatures off just a little bit and clear us out, too. So Sunday afternoon, especially, looks really lovely. How much rain will we see Saturday? You notice Sunday was dry, 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 right? So that's the brand new run of the high resolution models. The first time we've taken a look at it all the way out through the day Sunday, and we are dry, dry, dry. That's wonderful. Looking at anywhere from a quarter of an inch to a half an inch of rain on Saturday, but in some places it won't be even as high as that because we're not going to see thunderstorms everywhere, but a good chunk of us will see that. All right, so for Saturday's commencement, it looks like it's going to stay fairly dry in the morning, really all the way into the evening, but it'll be fairly cloudy. So Meredith, 8:30, 67 degrees, Fayetteville State at 9 a.m., 71, and Shaw at 10 a.m., 75 degrees, and it looks great for the outdoor graduations on Sunday. Duke and Carolina, temperatures at around 70 degrees at 9 a.m. should be really nice to be outside. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers on Sunday as well. Again, Sunday looking really nice, 82 degrees, a nice drop in our humidity and some sunshine through the afternoon. Monday looks wet. Be prepared for that. Cooler temperature at 71. And then after that, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday look awfully nice too.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Some scientists believe they have found the secret to protecting you from mosquitoes, and it doesn't come in a spray or liquid. We wrap things up. We have a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Warrants show a Wake County couple is accused of poisoning their neighbor's dogs. Two of those dogs died. James and Agnes Goldston are each charged with three counts of animal cruelty and communicating threats. The Goldstons each received a bond of $30,000, which they posted last night.
Breaking economic development news, VinFast is planning to go public. That's a Vietnam-based electric vehicle manufacturing company planning to build a plant in Chatham County. WRL TechWire confirmed VinFast is planning to merge with a U.S. company that's already traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Company executives say VinFast will be valued at $27 billion because of this deal.
Tomorrow morning, Governor Roy Cooper and hundreds of supporters will hold a rally for the veto of an abortion rights bill. 500 people are expected to attend. It is at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at Bicentennial Mall, just outside the legislative building. No North Carolina governor has held a veto rally in the past 27 years. Even though the governor has the power to issue a veto, it may not hold because the GOP has a supermajority.
If you want to keep mosquitoes away, scientists say you may want to try coconut-scented soaps. Researchers examined the chemical odors released by participants before and after they used different brands of soap. They also looked at the chemicals in the soaps to identify which attracted and repelled the insects. Chemicals in coconut-scented soap appeared to make humans less attractive to mosquitoes. Smells better than bug spray, I suppose. If you're having a hard time getting your daily steps in, new research suggests eating a certain amount of fruits and vegetables might help. Scientists say eating 5 pieces of fruit and vegetables a day can be as good for your health as taking 4,000 steps. Researchers found when people follow the Mediterranean diet, comprising of mainly fruits and vegetables, their fitness level equaled taking 4,000 steps every day. Fruits and vegetable fiber acts as natural fat burners.
Sesame Street is welcoming its first Filipino character. TJ is the children's show's newest Asian-American Muppet. A Filipino-American animator who works on the show based TJ on two of his friends' kids. The show also introduced a Korean-American actor character, Ji Young, in 2021.
Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Buddha is a 5-year-old neutered male dog weighing 66 pounds. He's been at the shelter for 487 days. Buddha needs an experienced, dog-savvy family. He has his own set of boundaries that may be different than most dogs. For example, Buddha prefers not to be petted, but he really loves people and prefers to interact in his own ways, like playing with toys or performing tricks for treats. Buddha would do best as the only pet. You can get more information at spcawake.org. We want to wish all the mamas out there a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. And if your baby is graduating, congratulations. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL and your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Enjoy your Mother's Day weekend.
Thank you so
much. Have a good one out there. Absolutely.
Looking forward to
it. See you. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you just a little bit later.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.